1340WNBS.com presents The Neil Bradley Show.
Welcome to the show. This is a busy one today, really busy. I have Dave Winder with his Canada report. Not sure about whether we'll be able to connect tomorrow due to travel issues and roaming charges and things of that sort. So we're going to have to wait and see on tomorrow. But he gives us kind of a review of what went on yesterday and what's happening today. Also, Josh Planos will be my guest. Josh has written an article, I believe it was yesterday, posted on the Washington Post sports site, I think under Fancy Stats. And Josh talks about Lorenzo Cain filling in quite nicely for Alex Gordon as the Royals just continue to roll in the American League Central. We'll chat with him about that, a little bit about the NBA. We'll ask him a bit about college football as well. The USA Today coaches poll is out. We'll find out a little bit about what Josh thinks about those rankings. Now, he covers Nebraska. They're not in it, so they're probably not happy there in Nebraska country, and I don't blame them. They probably do deserve to be in the top 25. But the good thing about that, you don't worry much about the preseason poll. The time to be upset is if you're not in the end of the season poll. And a lot of teams will have a lot to say about that poll, although they play a much bigger role in football than they do in basketball. Well, we'll talk all about that. And Parker Griffith, who is the football contact at Murray State, he will also be on via GoRacers.com. I pulled the audio from his interview with Mitch Stewart, and you can, of course, go and watch the video. If you want the best coverage, you always go to GoRacers.com as they cover whatever sport Murray State has better than anybody, and you can check that out. And we'll bring you Parker's audio. He interviewed Coach Mitch Stewart. That is all coming up on today's show. It's crazy with so much stuff. So we'll have that on the first Murray State football practice. That's coming up in just a bit. Also, speaking of football, the best projected 50 student-athletes in the NCAA Division I Football Championship Subdivision, or FCS, that's the level Murray State competes at, have been named to the College Sporting News 2015 Preseason Fabulous 50 FCS All-America Team. And on that list, Murray State's Pokey Harris as a return specialist. Three other OVC players made the squad: Eastern Kentucky running back Dyshawn Mobley, Jacksonville State defensive lineman Devontae Sigler, and Jacksonville State defensive back Jermaine Huff. Now, unlike other All-American teams, the CSN Honor Squad is designed to be a real team capable of taking the field and competing in a game. So it has everything from quarterbacks to fullbacks, long snappers, other special team performers. The Fabulous 50 also emphasizes players who have exhibited character and other team-oriented traits, not just lofty statistics or talent. And after the national championship game January 9th in Frisco, Texas, which, by the way, we carry, you can find out the end of the year Fab 50 team, as those will be announced. They give away the three major awards: top coach, offensive and defensive players of the year. Yesterday, we learned the pairings for the 2015 Gulf Coast Showcase. We know that Murray State will play Milwaukee in their opening game at 11 a.m. Monday of Thanksgiving week in Germain Arena. The Racers will play at either 11 a.m. or 5 p.m. Tuesday against the winner or loser of the game between Pepperdine and Duquesne. If they win, they play at 5. If they lose, they play at 11. And then the final game of the event is Wednesday, November 25th. If no matter what, the Racers will get a game against either Western Kentucky, Drake, Central Michigan, or Weber State. After a day off for travel, the Racer basketball team continues its exhibition tour of Canada with the finale of that three-game set in Montreal against Concordia. And in a few minutes, I'm going to talk with Dave Winder about that. Ryan Ivey is the new director of athletics at Austin Peay. He was officially introduced at a press conference yesterday. He arrives from Texas A&M University Commerce. He was the AD there, helping transform a low-ranked Division II program into a Lone Star Conference powerhouse. Last year, that school won 6 conference championships. By the way, Ivy is a native of Mayfield. How about that? Details have been set for the University of Louisville's men's basketball team's exhibition games on its trip to Puerto Rico on August 10th through 17th. The Cardinals will play a series of 9 games over 6 days against the Puerto Rico national team and junior team in 4 different venues, playing 3 doubleheaders. On the nights of the doubleheaders, the Cardinals roster will be split with a predetermined group as the primary participants of each game. The competition coincides with Coach Rick Pitino's decision to serve as head coach of the Puerto Rico basketball team in two international events this summer. And Kentucky football will play the grand opening game at 5 p.m. September 5th in the new Commonwealth Stadium against Louisiana Lafayette. They have a bunch of activities, including music from Sunday Best, a country duo formed by Kentucky natives Chris Bentley and Nick Jameson, and Matthew Mitchell, yes, the women's head coach Matthew Mitchell and the Go Big Blue Band will perform at 3 p.m. They'll parachute in the game ball. And then a really unique national anthem. This is a kind of a neat idea. It's a choir composed of singers from every one of Kentucky's 120 counties. Kind of a neat deal they'll do. UK also hosting its annual Fan Day coming up this Saturday. One of those nights for the Cardinals last night when they couldn't get the offense going. Matt Carpenter hit a two-run homer, and that was it. Nothing else. They lost 3-2 to the Reds. Carlos Martinez goes for his 12th win tonight as he faces Cincinnati's David Holmberg. We're on the air with the game at 5:15. It's a 6:10 first pitch. Down on the farm, the Memphis Redbirds beat Round Rock by a score of 9-7. Tommy Pham drove in two, and Miguel Sokolovich picked up his second win. The Redbirds open a series at Nashville tonight. As promised, we now have our interview with Parker Griffith. This is on GoRacers.com as he talked with new football coach Mitch Stewart after the first day of practice.
Tell us what you learned about the team today.
Well, you know, it's just today, the first day is more about getting the stress levels down, you know, making sure everybody knows which way to go, you know, and how to go. It's never going to be as fast as you want it. There's always going to be some transition issues, and there was today. But it's more so, you know, the first day you're just trying to evaluate talent. You're trying to evaluate personnel, make sure that you have your personnel in the right spots, and then move them and shift them if you need to, you know, moving into day two.
Speaking of personnel and talent, give us your opinion on some of the new guys that have come out and just the class in general.
Don't know yet. I'll know here in about 10 minutes when we get in there and watch the film, you know. I saw some good things out of some guys, you know, doing some things, running around and you know, getting a burst off the line of scrimmage and things like that. But, I mean, with me still calling it offensively, there wasn't a whole lot of looking. I've got my eyes down on the paper for the most part and just calling the next play, trying to get the tempo up on the first day of practice. So, you know, it'll be interesting. I'll get to go in here and watch them on film and then kind of do some evaluations from there.
Talking about the offense, we had one of the best offenses in the country last year. Is it going to be more of the same, or we can expect that high-scoring offense again?
I hope so. That's the plan anyway. We'll see.
Of course, the question everyone's asked you this offseason is about the defense. Give us a little insight of the defense, what Coach Boone's done with them, and the progress they've made even since the spring.
Well, it's just an intensity factor. You know, they're moving around. They're flying to the football just on day one, just watching them. You know, the quarterbacks made the comment the other day, they don't give you anything. You have to work for everything. You know, whereas you know, some of the defenses that we face, they'll give you a check down, they'll give you a hitch or whatever, and they just rally and tackle to it. I think they're pretty aggressive in what they're doing, and they're playing pretty tight to the box and pretty tight to the receivers, you know, which forces you offensively during a practice to take some shots and which kind of stinks for your quarterbacks because their completion percentage goes down, you know, because you're trying to push it down the field a little bit. But, you know, I think the biggest thing that they've got going for them right now is they've got a lot of intensity on that side of the football.
Last question, Coach. It's the first day, so you haven't really seen a lot, but how much potential does this team have?
You know, I don't know. I'll say this, you know, for being 3 days into camp, doing, you know, all the paperwork and all of the stuff that you have to get, the compliance issues and all of that kind of stuff. You know, we've had no issues with that. All of our kids have done exactly what they're supposed to do. You know, they go over to the cafeteria and they straighten up after themselves. And so from that standpoint, you know, we're doing pretty good on a football team. From a football standpoint, I have no idea after being the first day and just being in helmets. So it'll be, like I said, it'll be interesting to get in here and evaluate. It's good to see the coaches on the jog right there. They're trying to get in season shape too. So, we'll get in there and evaluate it, see how it looks.
Thanks to GoRacers.com and Parker Griffith for that interview. I'll take a quick break, and when I come back, Dave Winder will join me from Montreal right after this.
Celebration of the second class of the Cardinals Hall of Fame on Saturday, August 15th, when the Cardinals host the Marlins. 25,000 fans, 16 and older, receive a collectible 2015 Cardinals Hall of Fame inductees plaque honoring Curt Flood, Bob Force, George Kissel, and Ted Simmons, courtesy of Edward Jones. That's Saturday, August 15th, the Cardinals and the Marlins, and the Cardinals Hall of Fame inductees plaque giveaway. Tickets available at cardinals.com/promotions. Cardinals baseball, tradition meets today.
And we are back. As promised, Dave Winder joins me, and this time it is from Montreal. Good morning, Dave. How you doing?
Hey, good morning, Neil. How are things back home?
Very, very good. I saw some of the photos you had last night. I was worried that you might have drowned, but glad that you didn't. That looked like a lot of fun, though, on that boat last night.
It was so much fun. We were just at breakfast a minute ago, and I'm like, can we go back today? I'd love to go back out there. That was the Montreal jet boat tour, and basically you had a 50-foot, 1,400-horsepower boat that we rode from the Old Port in Montreal north on the St. Lawrence River. And let me tell you, you know how the Mississippi and Ohio are just kind of slowly mm-hmm. moving?
Yeah.
This is a fast river, and when you got up further north, there's a... I guess they call it a Class 3 Rapids.
Right.
And that's some choppy water, and basically they rode us up and down the rapids. And it's a ride where it was better than any roller coaster I've ever been on. And only this lasted for about an hour. And you get absolutely soaking wet. And so the whole team was there, Coach McMahon, all the assistant coaches, Eric Frederick, our athletic trainer, and man, we had a blast yesterday. When you got done, I felt like I'd run 5 miles. That's how exhausting it was.
Now, did anybody say, take me back? Was everybody okay with it, or were there some that was like, hey, I don't know about this?
Well, the one we were kind of worried about is the freshman from Ripley, Tennessee, Chad Culbreth.
Okay.
He was in the front row, and I was in the front row with DeMarcus Croker next to me, and then Chad was next to him. I don't think Chad was having as good a time as we were.
Okay.
I think actually he was frightened, very, very frightened.
All right. But he's out of his element there. I mean, that's not something you normally do.
You know? Well, I tell you what, when you got out there on that river, I mean, water is nothing to be playing with.
Yeah, I know.
It was that water was moving so fast, and the choppiness of the water, the boat would just go into the rapids, and the front of the boat was just digging into a 10-foot wave, and the whole thing was coming over.
Wow.
And about the third round that we made, I was talking to Croker, and I had my head turned, and I got hit by a wave from my right, and I actually saw stars just for a moment.
So it's like a baseball game. You got to keep your head up to the action at all times.
You got to keep your head on a swivel.
There you go.
You don't know when the next wave is coming. Okay. It was fun. It really was.
All right. Well, that was a day of fun, but now it's back to business as they'll be playing that final exhibition game against Concordia University. What can you tell me about them, Dave?
Well, our host this week is John Drone, and he just recently retired from Concordia. He coached here for 25 years, and it's been great to get to know him. He's been just a wonderful host. He's lived in Montreal for, pretty much most of his professional coaching career. And he's from Brooklyn originally, and he's worked extensively with Canada basketball. He's worked with some of their junior national teams, and he's even worked with Canada's Olympic team as an assistant coach. And he's done a really good job at Concordia. I don't know as much about them as I did for Ottawa and Carleton, but, it'll be a game tonight. We just go over there, and that's the thing about this. There's not a lot of advanced scouting on this trip, and we're not doing shoot-arounds every day.
Right.
And we're not we didn't practice in the off day and all that stuff. So this is really relaxed, and it's just been great for this team to just kind of be with each other and just kind of build a team here. It's really been great.
And that was the whole point of it, is that. And it's just been amazing that the two times we really needed these exhibitions has been the time when we could take them 4 years ago, and then this season really needed them. And I think it'll help immensely this year, Dave.
I think it will. You can see it here, and when we get back, you'll see it too, Neil. The team has they've learned a lot about each other. They've learned a lot about their coaches, and it can do nothing but help this team as we go into the fall and they kind of start getting closer to the season. We were kind of joking with Coach McMahon during the Carlton game. Was the first time, the first game we were getting beat so bad he wasn't barking at the officials too much. Then he kind of got a couple of times there, and, he even said, I thought I was going to get a technical. And and then I was like, I wonder when that's going to happen. When's that first tee going to come?
Right. You never know.
I don't think you can coach basketball and not ever get a technical.
Oh, yeah, you'll say something, even if you don't mean it to hit the official the wrong way, and he'll tee you up. I remember Billy Kennedy's first. He just kind of did his hands apart, and they teed him up for it. It's like he didn't really say anything.
Well, don't get me started on that or the official. Okay. That was at Western Kentucky.
It was, yes.
Bowling Green.
It was. He just holds his hands apart.
At the end of the half, I remember it. Danelle Thomas got fouled. No call. And Billy just threw his hands at him.
Yeah. And it's
didn't
like,
say a word.
Teeing you up for that. Like, that's crazy.
Didn't say a word.
Well, some more basketball news coming out yesterday as the pairings for that Gulf Coast Showcase announced. The Racers get Milwaukee. And if fans want to see a Murray Western game in that tournament, it'll have to be in the championship game. If that happens, that would be incredible.
It would be. And that was perfect timing yesterday, wasn't it?
Yes. Day off.
The guys at Global Sports in Lexington, they're the ones putting on the tournament. And Global Sports is run by former Kentucky SID Brooks Downing. You probably remember him from years back.
Sure.
And I got to know him back in the 90s when I was at WPSD kind of doing some stuff with UK. But they're the ones putting on the tournament. The Estero area is beautiful. They're just south of Fort Myers. Germain Arena is a beautiful venue we're going to get to play at. So it's really set up to be a really neat thing on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of Thanksgiving week. If our fans will get on GoRacers.com and just follow the instructions in the article, the tickets are on sale, and I think we'll probably have a lot of Racer fans making the trip down there Thanksgiving week. But I was talking with Coach McMahon yesterday, and he says Milwaukee is really, really good. So we did not draw an easy game by any stretch with that first one. So if the Racers can get a win, then they would play the next day on Tuesday the 24th against either Pepperdine or Duquesne. And then in the bottom of the bracket, you've got, I don't know, Neil, if you've got the pairings there in front of you. I think it was Western Kentucky against Weber State.
They play Drake, I think.
And then Weber State plays Central Michigan.
Right, right. That's it.
In the bottom of the bracket.
Little connection with Milwaukee. Jaquan McLeod, who left the Racers like the first week or two of practice last year, transferred to Milwaukee. I don't think he'll be eligible, I think maybe until the second semester from what I'm told, but he is on that team.
Yeah, we heard that yesterday. I thought he had gone to Illinois-Chicago, but he apparently is at Milwaukee. And by the way, the Racers game on Monday the 23rd is the first game of the tournament. We play at noon Eastern time.
All right. Well, we'll have those, of course, on Froggy. And I can't let you go because I'm not sure how we'll be able to connect up tomorrow since it's a travel day and in transit. But we got Hoopalooza coming up, and it makes it for a busy week for you. But that's always just a blast Friday and Saturday of this week.
Yeah, looking forward to that, and can't wait to see Coach Edgar and Marcus Brown again and just all the other Racers that are coming back. It's going to be a lot of fun Friday night at the CFSB Center, just honoring those two guys for what they did. You know, Neil, I wrote the script for the intro video for Scott that will play right before he steps to the podium on Friday night, and one of the things I wrote was it was one of the most exciting times ever in Racer basketball.
It was.
Scott brought something to Murray State that had never been seen before. And, you know, there's more than one way to have eggs, right? Well,
yeah.
Scott's way was fast, pressure defense, and get up and down the floor. And some of those games that you called back when he was playing, I remember the tip-in by Greg Anderson on a Saturday afternoon, I think it was against Tennessee State. and then two trips to the NCAA tournament while Scott was there, his first year and his last year. And then Scott, of course, finished up the career of Popeye Jones, his first year there. And then he and, you know, Kenny Roth was part of that staff. They went and found a kid out of West Memphis, Arkansas, named Marcus Brown, and wasn't he great his career. And then they also recruited Vincent Rainey.
Yeah.
A lot of people forget how great a player Vincent Rainey was.
Yeah. It was fun. It'll be a blast. And it's turned into one of my favorite events. I hope it's something that we can continue forever, pretty much.
Well, I think there's no doubt that the interest in it has been there, and I think we'll continue to do it, no doubt.
Dave, I appreciate it. I know you got a lot on your plate for the next few days. Enjoy it. If I can connect with you tomorrow, we'll talk with you. If not, then I'll see you when you get back Friday, okay?
Okay, yeah, there is one more team activity this afternoon. I think there's some laser tag in our future here in about an hour.
So
the guys are having a good time. This has been a great trip for them, and then when we get home, we kind of go into Hoopalooza, and all the guys are getting to go home for a while. So they're all going to get to go home to their families.
Oh, good for them. They'll look forward to that. Dave, I appreciate the visit, and we'll chat with you down the road, okay?
Okay. Thanks, Neil.
All right. Thanks a lot. So do you want to try this tomorrow, or you guys leaving early? What are you doing tomorrow? All right. Coming up, as promised, Josh Planos, contributor to the Washington Post, joins me right after this. GoRacers.com is your one-stop information center for Murray State Athletics, with schedules for every team, coach bios, student-athlete bios, social media links, game information, audio and video links, ticket information, camp information, and a special section called Fan Central just for fans. If you have a question about the Racers, the answer is GoRacers.com, your online home for Racer Athletics. As promised, Josh Planos, who is a frequent contributor to the Washington Post, among other sites, joins me. And I read yesterday's article on Lorenzo Cain. And, of course, being in Cardinals country, we follow the Royals reasonably closely as well. When Alex Gordon went down with his injury, I thought that might really affect them. But you pointed out, and right on the head, how Lorenzo Cain has really charged that offense and playing, I guess, is an offensive player, maybe the best baseball he's ever played.
Yeah, you know, you don't really see that type of progressions from a 28-year-old to a 29-year-old, but, you know, he's certainly having the best year of his career. You know, he hit .367 in July, which was, you know, incredible and exactly what Kansas City needed. You know, obviously, I think it's been pretty noticeable the last 3 years that, you know, Alex Gordon is kind of irreplaceable for them. And, you know, he, from what he does from the offensive side of the ball to the defensive side of the ball, I think most would say that he's probably comprehensively the best player on that roster. But certainly Lorenzo Cain's, you know, filled the void, and really, Kansas City's just treading water until he gets back. But, you know, they're doing a good job of it. They're 14-9 since Gordon went down in early July, and you know, they still have the best you know, record in their division by a pretty significant margin. So, you know, they're in good shape.
And it didn't hurt that they picked up Johnny Cueto as well, who should certainly help the pitching, which wasn't bad to start with.
Yeah, you know, I think really what they're doing is just, you know, patching some small spots where they feel like they could have some improvement. I don't think anyone saw Ben Zobrist being the type of player that they would bring on to, you know, put them right back into the World Series hunt, but, you know, might win them a game or two. And so far he's been delivering. I'm sure Cueto will deliver for them down the stretch and, you know, bolster that starting rotation. But, you know, Kansas City's in as good a shape as anyone right now.
And they've been a really great story, because it wasn't really long ago at all that they were sort of a laughingstock. They were terrible. And the surge to being not just a contender, but, I mean, a serious contender for the championship is absolutely amazing, how they've been able to turn that around. And, of course, the players you've mentioned, like Cain and Gordon, have been big parts of that.
Yeah, you know, I think you nailed it right on the head. Kansas City was a laughingstock for, you know, almost all of the last decade, to almost all of the last two decades. But, you know, Ned Yost, he deserves a great deal of credit for what he's been able to do to turn around the franchise. And, you know, they were as confident as any team heading into this season, which I think, you know, would be easy to lose sight of if you, you know, let the situation get get the best of you, and you didn't realize that last season wasn't an anomaly. It was a starting block, and really what they're doing is just taking that next step. And they've been dominant all year, so it's good to have Kansas City be competitive again. As far as professional franchises go, they're the closest in proximity to Omaha, so I know everyone around here is pretty excited about it.
And you would feel they're going to be in good shape. The team right behind them, and I say right behind them, the 4.5 games back, the Minnesota Twins. I don't understand how they're even there. They're one of the surprise teams in baseball that they're even contending. I sure didn't see this coming from Minnesota this year.
No, I mean, that's talk about a team with inconsistencies. Minnesota never seems to string together positive months. It always seems to be a week or two there, and then they'll bottom out, and then a week or two there, and then they'll get swept. But the Twins are right there, I guess, and in second place. I think everyone's kind of shocked at how far the Detroit Tigers have fallen from where they were projected at the start of the season with such a high caliber offense. But that's just kind of the way things go in professional sports. You can't always, predict what's going to happen. And obviously both Minnesota and Detroit will be vying for the wild card spot. And, we'll see if they can do it.
Let's talk some NBA. And we had talked about, is there any big free agents out there? And really there isn't. However, I didn't realize in shoe contracts there was. And it looks like Adidas offering James Harden $200 million as his deal expires from Nike. He could end up making more money from a shoe contract than he makes from the Rockets. That's unbelievable if that happens.
Yeah. I think Adidas right now is in a situation where they've got some pretty big names locked up. Obviously, they tossed Derrick Rose a monster deal. Right after he won the MVP award, and they've got Lillard signed, and I think John Wall might be in there too. But obviously they're trying to chase a relevant name, and Lillard, if anything, took a step back last year. Rose has been plagued by injuries, and right now James Harden is as hot as anyone in the league. So obviously they're going to try and swoop in and take him right out from under Nike, but we'll see if they can counter. That's just an inhuman amount of money for a shoe deal.
Yeah.
But I guess when you're one of the two best players in the NBA, you can earn that kind of a endorsement.
How is that possibly worth that to them? Do you have any idea how that is actually worth $200 million to Adidas to have James Harden have their shoes?
Well, I mean, obviously, Adidas is a far cry from Jordan Brand, but Jordan rakes in millions and millions of dollars for his personal brand and for Nike when he was playing. So it's incredible how much of an incentive it is for up and coming teens, kids looking up to these athletes to see a logo on their jersey or on their shoes and think if I wear these, then I'm going to be just like them. I think we kind of look past how much these kids really try to embody these athletes. And, Harden could probably generate more than that. Maybe not in a year, but, if you look at, a 5-year, sales plan, I'm sure that he could generate more than that in revenue for Adidas, which is, it's shocking that, these players can kind of have that kind of an impact on a brand, but it just kind of comes with the territory.
And it does have an impact on kids. I have an 11-year-old grandkid who takes on his little, Kindle or whatever he has, and shows his dad the LeBron James shoe. That's his favorite player, and it's only $200, which when you're 11, you can put the word only in front of $200. But, man, that's a ton of money to pay for some basketball shoes.
Yeah. And, those prices are just going to, keep skyrocketing, as people are willing to pay for them. I mean, these people are deities to kids and to, people all over the world. And, when you have that kind of an impact, you can kind of basics of economics, if there's someone willing to buy it, you can always, jack up the price, marginally. And that's what they're doing. I have no doubt that Adidas would be charging a hefty price for some James Harden kicks.
A little bit about the Lakers too. I read an article this week. I think it was on ESPN site, and it was some interview footage with Kobe Bryant, who says he believes the Lakers can make the playoffs this year despite not adding any monster free agents. I know, and I kind of lean toward you. I read what you had written about it. They may not be much better. Colby thinks they probably will be. Is he basing that based on if he's healthy, he believes it'll happen? What do you think?
Well, I mean, what's great about, you know, the months right before season is everyone's, you know, 0-0. So everyone can kind of say, I think that we're, you know, a championship contender this season. And why wouldn't they think that? You know, everyone's kind of on the same playing field for now. I think if you look at the roster and you look at the conference and you look at who they're going to be matching up with on most nights, you kind of see a disadvantage there. And obviously this is the last, this could be the last season of Kobe Bryant's career. You know, he's kind of undecided on that. But, you know, why wouldn't he think that they could, you know, have another shot at getting him another championship? I think it's kind of a far cry from what will be reality come opening night. But, you know, he's entitled to his opinion, and I would be very, very surprised, I'll put it that way, if the Lakers qualified for the postseason or were even in the top 10 teams in the Western Conference next season.
I know you cover college football as well, and I just wanted to pick your brain before I let you go on the USA Today coaches poll. Ohio State, TCU, Alabama, Baylor, Oregon in the top five. I know you're a bit familiar with the poll with, of course, covering Nebraska out there. Tell me what you think about it. Is it going to be business as usual, the same five up there, or will we see somebody maybe make a name for themselves this season?
You know, I really like the starting five that they went with. I think if anyone were to be replaceable, I would say it would be Baylor, and I would probably swap Baylor out with Michigan State, which I know isn't a huge swap, but I just think Connor Cook's going to bring a lot to Michigan State, and has been kind of an under-the-radar elite quarterback, you know, the last 2 years. And so I think Michigan State should be considered. I know people in Nebraska aren't too happy. We're unranked for the first time since, I believe, 2008. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's a complete overhaul with the program. It's the first time in school history that they've ever done that to that extent. You know, I guess we've got the season to look forward to. This is the first real preseason poll that, you know, people can kind of sink their teeth into. TCU is ranked higher than they've ever been in the poll. And so I think there's a lot to get excited about. Obviously, Ohio State deserves to be at that top spot, you know, with how many players they returned and how talented they were a season ago. I don't know if there was any sort of argument. I mean, they got 62 first-place votes, and, you know, second place was TCU with one. So I think that just kind of speaks to the disparity,
right,
and, you know, how much excitement and hype they're generating throughout the off season. But if anyone were to fall out of the top five, I would say Baylor. I think Notre Dame is just a little bit higher than I would have ranked them. They're ranked I think 11th in the poll, and I wouldn't be surprised if they fell a few spots you know, by the third week.
I have a lot of friends who are Mizzou fans, and they were really disappointed initially when they moved to the SEC, because they say we're going to get killed in football. And as it turns out, it's been really good for Missouri. They've really elevated the program. And here they are, preseason number 23, coming off an 11-3 season. So it's been really good for Mizzou so far.
Yeah, you know, I think they have a lot to look forward to. Obviously, right now, you know, there's so much unknown about the upcoming season that, you know, we kind of have just, you know, an insurmountable amount of questions and,
sure,
you know, no answers. But, you know, Missouri's got a lot to look forward to. I know that their high-flying offense is probably going to be, you know, just fine in 2015, and we'll see if they can, you know, take that next step.
Josh, I appreciate the visit. Thanks so much, and we'll chat with you again next week, all right?
All right. Have a good week, Neil.
That is Josh Planos.